Hello, welcome to the Lying Media Masters radio show.
Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller and all we say is please. We have my toaster and my TV and my steel belt and radios and I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. Up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
To the SI land, I pulled up on the block, got out the truck, it was the first of pit stops, the era of the spinning top, the birth of hip hop, that was something I had identified with, so I made it my point to exploit this fly gift, then myself and RZA made trips to the BX, a mass of ferocious MCs, the town of T-Rex, clients in every way, rap flows for every day, we knew we would get a reward with a price to pay. The basic training was beyond entertaining. Just the cadence of the verbal expression, self-explaining. Wore my boots out in constant walks across the borough. Tore the troops out the frame when they challenged the most thorough. From well-concealed, firing positions, we let off the most. Dangerous with that, slang that just shattered the coast. They say I rhyme like the bank to stop. Cause MCs be more shook than the dice just drop. Especially if I'm rolling, then the point is definitely proven. Cause with the jizzle holing, that keep a nigga moving. I walk Broadway from Quincy to Myrtle, back to Quincy, cut careers, whatever the expense be. They heard the legend, run to the reverend, but headaches and blackouts worse than 7-7.
Then when my job is done, then it's time to get those that's coming up some run, so you can see where they from. And since the product is good, we gonna swing it from the slums up the hill to the hood, till it's understood.
We still search through the crates for songs that just breaks. At times we play legendary battles on tapes. Unlikely confrontation, but a clash of swords. Energy that was stored, be raining and just poured on cats and dogs. Water that flooded the stands. The violence of nature had triggered the violence of man. That was bloodshed from which said audible threats, publicized regrets. One of the alive or dead. A handful recovered from the dramatic plunge, while the rest
blacks kept babbling and speaking in tongues. Since the competition already slayed him in the scrimmage, he continued to tarnish that already faded image. In the sport, when they come short, majors don't need them. Then they broke, lose their homes, livelihood, and freedom. The rhyme could be a blunt object to make you choke. Like too many totes, gotta be taught to grow. This witty, unpredictable talent, all natural game, but non-additive slain. That's all actual fact. The high roller knocked the chip off your shoulder, strike like the perfect bowler. The catastrophic damage from what was hard to manage. Punishment swift and sudden, unparalleled advantage. Brought to a level where you're froze and can't speak. Trapped in the frigid temperatures of that peak.
And when my job is done, then it's time to get those that's coming up to run, so you can see where they from. Since the product is good, we gonna swing it from the slums up the hill to the hood till it's understood.
Yeah. Atari as she stood in its path in the township of Rafa. She lost her young life in an act of compassion, trying to protect the poor people of Gaza, whose homes are destroyed by tank shells and bulldozers, and whose plight is exploited by suicide bombers who kill in the name of the people of Gaza. But Rachel Corrie believed in non-violent resistance, put herself in harm's way as a shield of the people, and paid with her life in a manner most brutal. But you who philosophize disgrace and criticize our fears, take the rag away from your face, 'cause now ain't the time for your tears. Rachel Corrie had 23 years. She was born in the town of Olympia, Washington, a skinny, messy, list-making chain smoker who volunteered to protect the Palestinian people who had become non-persons in the eyes of the media, so that people were suffering and no one was seeing or hearing or talking or caring or acting. And the horrible math of the awful equation that brought Rachel Corrie into this confrontation is that the spilled blood of a single American is worth more than the blood of 100 Palestinians. But you who philosophize disgrace and criticize our fears, take the rag away from your face, 'cause now ain't the time for your tears. The artistic director of a New York theater canceled a play based on Rachel's writings, but she wasn't a bomber or a killer or a fighter, but one who acted in the spirit of the Freedom Riders. Is there no place for such a voice in America that doesn't conform to the Fox News agenda, who believes in non-violence instead of brute force, who is willing to confront the might of an army whose passionate beliefs were matched by her bravery? And the question she asked rings out round the world: if America is truly the beacon of freedom, then how can it stand by while they bring down the curtain and turn Rachel Corrie into a non-person? Oh, but you philosophize disgrace, criticize our fears, bury the rag deep in your face, 'cause now is the time for your tears.
Hey folks, listen to Radioactive San Diego, the Lying Media Bastards show. That just there was a sad little ballad by Billy Bragg. about Rachel Corey, the member of the International Solidarity Movement who went to Palestine and stood in the way of an Israeli bulldozer that was going to demolish a Palestinian home. And instead of stopping, as one might expect a bulldozer driver to do if there was a human being in your way, the bulldozer kept going and killed her. So, Billy Bray, and then I think the inspiration for that song was some years later after Rachel Corey's death. This is all very recent. I think this was just 2003 or so that she died, 2004 maybe. And But there was going to be a play, as I mentioned in the song, there's going to be a play about Rachel Corey on Broadway. There were protests by conservatives and, you know, Zionists and whatnot who felt that, oh, this is terrible, you can't be, you're glorifying the Palestinians and terrorism. Because, you know, a girl who stands in front of a bulldozer with the intent of saving someone's home, that's terrorism, you see. But I think that was what led Billy Bragg to write that song. Although I couldn't tell you what chose him to decide to not rhyme half of it. He's a talented fellow, Billy Bragg. You think he could have found some rhyming words in there? I don't think that, you know, human and bulldozer and people rhyme very well. Before that, we had Marilyn Manson doing This Is the New Shit off of one of the Matrix soundtracks. Again, I feel that it's a very... very insightful media criticism song. Before that, we had the Gizza from Wu-Tang Clan doing Autobio. And we started off with the song I should have played last week, Blur doing We've Got a File on You. Of course, due to the fact that the government has a file on you. That'll be a public service announcement. I'll play that song every week and remind everyone. And by the way, the U.S. government has a file on you. Now, got a lot of music to play here on the show today. Don't even know what I'll play exactly. So much to choose from. I'm going to play some Nouvelle Vague, some Oulas, some Rockin' Tears, which is the new Jack White side project. Coach Whips, DJ Zebra, maybe some Dead Can Dance. And that's just of the new stuff. I'll be playing lots of old classics. News-wise, man, can talk about the NSA, talk about immigration, talk about, there's a quick one, Mia, M-I-A, the political rapper out of the UK, she tried to come to the United States recently, and the U.S. denied her entrance and sent her back to England. Possibly due to her radical lyrics, possibly due to the fact that she's of Sri Lankan descent, no one knows. Talk a little bit about the environmental concerns around ethanol, the Save the Internet campaign, a little bit about Christianity, the upcoming Fast Food Nation movie. Yes, indeed, there is one. War crimes in Iraq, a new local media and labor campaign I'll be talking about. Let's see, globalization in Iraq. And I'll mention now, and I'll repeat it, next week I'm going to be interviewing Ron Anisich, who does the Bad Cop No Donut radio show up out of Canada, which is a weekly show that goes over the crimes and abuses committed by our law enforcement here in the U.S. and Canada. I don't know if he gets into Mexico. I don't think he covers Mexican police antics. But I'll be talking to him about law enforcement, cops, police brutality, racism, that sort of thing, because he knows it. And, yeah, plenty more else to talk about. Now, first one we'll go a little humor here. Of course, as we know, the National Security Agency has been wiretapping thousands of Americans' phones without getting warrants. We don't know who. They claimed first that it was only international calls. So if you weren't calling friends in, you know, France or Uganda or something, you were fine. Then we found out that they were keeping records on tens of millions of Americans, who they were calling and when and for how long. So some thoughtful person created this new website, DearNSA.com. And basically it's, well, I'll read you a few examples. It's an advice column where you ask the NSA if they can answer your question. For example, this first one here, what should I get my wife for her birthday? And the NSA responds, blue sundress from Calypso, size 12. Also note that she likes to have her toes licked. Where did I leave my keys? Inside the pocket of your gray jacket. It's hanging in the front closet. My wife suggested that I get this new haircut. How does it look? And the NSA responds, it's fine, but what's up with the pedicure? Should I be worried about this red bump on my arm? Answer, you should be more worried about the lump on your kidney. Is now a good time to buy Google? Unfortunately, due to strict federal laws, the NSA cannot provide stock tips. What should I have for dinner? You've been eating a lot of Chinese and pizza. How about some Turkish? Can I substitute margarine for butter in my Toll House cookie recipe? We know that you've been smoking pot. And finally, let's see. Two more we've got so far. Where's Waldo? We're still looking, but you can trust that we're following up on many excellent leads. And then the final bit of advice currently on the DearNSA.com page. I'm interviewing with AT&T. Can you put in a good word for me? And the response is, already taken care of. So when you're in the nation of your birth, which is slowly becoming a police state, and your rights of privacy and freedom and whatnot are being taken away, the best response is to chuckle. I'm Jake Lang, Media Bastard Show. If you're listening live and you want to make a request, send an instant message to Radioactive SD, and I will get it, and I will try to play these songs you want to hear. And if you're listening to the recording and you want to request future songs, write to lmbradio@gmail.com. Or if you want to make a question or comment, you can write to me at that same address. Anyhow, I'm going to hop into some more music now. This is going to be a Nouvelle Vague, which is the French or Canadian? I think they're a French band that does bossa nova covers of punk and new wave songs of the 70s and 80s. It's a nice little gimmick. The songs usually sound pretty good. They put out an album last year with lots of good stuff. And I've heard a couple singles now off of the new album. I'm not sure when that one comes out. But I'll put this on now. This is going to be Nouvelle Vague doing Dancing with Myself, the Billy Idol classic. I'm Jake Lang, Media Bastards. Thanks for listening.
With a record selection, with a mirror reflection, I'm dancing. give me time to think.
I'm dancing with myself. said we're headed for war in Iraq?
You said we're headed to war. You said we're headed to war in Iraq.
I don't know why you say that. I hope we're not headed to war in Iraq.
I hope we're not headed to war. I hope we're not headed to war. To war in Iraq.
I'm the person who gets to decide. Selected targets.
Striking selected targets.
Of military importance.
Of military importance. I hope we're not headed to war in Iraq.
Not you. Coalition forces have begun striking selected targets of military importance.
That music makes you feel downright patriotic, doesn't it?
Together to unite. I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully. Nobody needs to tell me what I believe, but I do need somebody to tell me where Kosovo is. The illiteracy level of our children are appalling.
Beware, I live.
Wake up to a caffeine, cigarette vaccine, and bathing water I wouldn't drink before gasoline. Feel like a loser cause I'm not in Fallujah, paying a Land Cruiser with an Iraqi then taking his Luger. No M16, you give me a callus, human super malice for GOP umbrellas. Baby suicide bombers, hurdle suitcases in a nursery. I'm in a deli and tuna tasting the mercury. Then try to wash it down with a $2 bottle of water. Get on the train and think of terrorists or box cutters. Cause I see a real reality when I breathe through my nasal cavities, killing my batteries. Bombs in Metropolis, out all eye sockets, esophagus is melted out. Some shy group will get their props for this. I need petrol for my Mercedes, but I'm not trying to kneel or die for Emperor Chaney. Maybe I'm crazy, but I will not just follow the herd. Unless, of course, it's a route to lynch Mike Bloomberg. aware with this orange alert.
Run, coward.
I was proud the other day when both Republicans and Democrats stood with me in the Rose Garden to announce their support for a clear statement of purpose. You disarm or we win.
American flags fly, morale's high. Unit of 20 or so repelling from Apaches in the sky into a village of killers. Little Jimmy from Jackson, Mississippi, just graduated and seeing action. M16 lock loaded and spinning properly. Whoever's in that line of fire, that's full of democracy. Turn a corner, team leader, neck up to the nose storm. Blown off, this is not PS2, so calm. Jimmy stays so calm. Shoots counting nothing, riddled in his back. Answers come flying out his stomach. Face down and his face up in the bed, almost dead. Eyes slightly open, IV bag and blue legs. A couple sandwiches, some bloody bandages. In a room full of amputee GI amateurs. He gets the word that his unit didn't make it. Got a free ticket home to flatline before he got to take it.
We're certain there are people that can't stand what America stands for. We're certain there are madmen in this world. And there's terror, and there's missiles, and I'm certain of this too.
Hunger.
Cops take the scene up, gunner down's nine. They chasing away kids playing hopscotch in this chalk outline. Two F-16 screeching iridescent sky. Look down, we're not in Iraq, we're in NY. Rats in the streets, we move underground like earthworms. Two coats couldn't abort Satan in his first term. The army in the subway, walking with toolies. I'm on a train with the back of the dollar bill still talking to me. Drive with my laugh, I know what's right. My weapon hand like the map of D.C. streets. License on a car window when I pass through. You seen the news? No joke. New York Police Department will blast you. My weatherman party is invite only soldier. Cause with one wave of King G dump scepter, it's over. The right to assemble puts the Bureau's team on you. Look into my file and nod that is while Jello screams on you.
By our efforts, we have lit a fire in the minds of men. It warms those who feel its power. It burns those who fight its progress. And one day this untamed fire of freedom will reach the darkest corners of our world. It is the policy of the United States to seek and support the growth of democratic movements and institutions in every nature and culture with the ultimate goal of ending tyranny in our world. Except right here at home. Yeehaw! Don't mess with Texas. Texas. Don't mess with Texas. Don't mess with Texas. Connie. Connie, give me some pretzels. Rummy, Rummy, give me that Bible. Give me that Bible with the pages cut out and I got my coke hidden in. Come on, come on. Don't mess with Texas. Oh, fuck anything that moves.
Walk like Pistol Pete and Pappy Mason. Gave the young boys admiration. Prince from Queens and Fritz from Harlem. Street legends. The drugs kept the hood from starving. Pushing cars, Nicky bars was the 70s. But there's a long list of high profile celebrities. Worldwide on the thorough side of things. Live as kings. Some died. One guy, one time, one day. Grasp me as I'm about to blast heat. 40 side of burning. I turn well, he asks me, what you up to? The cops gon' bust you. I was a teen drunk or brute. Stumbled, I wondered if God sent him. Cause two squad cars entered the block and looked at us. I ain't flinched when they watched. I took it upstairs, the bathroom mirror. Brushed my hair, staring at a young disciple. I almost gave my life to what the dice do. Yeah, man, throwing them bones. Hoping my ace get his case thrown. This girl ain't wait for him. She in the world straight hoeing. Why he looking at centerfolds? Some pretty girls showing they little cooch. Gangsters don't die, he's living proof. The DA who tried him was lying. The white dude killed his mother during the case. Hung jury, now the DA is being replaced. Pre-trial hearing is over. It's real for the soldier. Walks in the courtroom, the look in his eyes is wild. Triple homicide, I sit in the back aisle. I wanna crack a smile when I see. Throw up a fist for black power. Cause all we want is freedom. He grabbed a court officer's gun and started squeezing. Then he grabbed the judge, screams out, nobody leaving. Everybody.
Get down, get down.
Everybody.
Get down, get down, get down, get down.
weird ass niggas who dangerous, so don't test them. They make you disappear. This a year that I won't forget. Sold CDs, double platinum at Moe Execs. Southern niggas, independent label, real killers. Know the business, ran Tennessee for years, now they chillin'. They had the coke game, something crazy. Sold music out the trunk of their car, that shit amazed me. Put me on the Heron blunts, Sherm or something. Took a puff, what the fuck, I turned and punched them. Southern niggas ain't slow, nigga tried to play me. I left from around them dudes, they cool but they crazy. Now I'm back around the old school that raised me. New York gangsters, we loungin' out in L.A. See, a dude wrote my dog from Pelican Bay. The letter say, Nas, I got your back, the fools don't play. I rode with some Crips down to a Crenshaw funeral. Never saw so many men slaughtered, and I knew the whole responsible. The nigga's still alive in the hospital. Midnight, they crept in his room and shot the doctor too. See, my cousin's in the gang, thuggin' and things. He plugged me with a dame who was half Mexicano. Gave the ass up, I'm a Mac Daddy Soprano. She passed me the indigo, but the imbecile should've never tippy-toed. Thought my eyes were closed, open in the hotel room though. The little goons in, but I moved in the manor on some Jet Li shit. I let the hammers blow, wet three kids. See, honey thought I had something to do with all the drama, cause I was with a crew that had a people killed. Called up my cousin, told him I ain't fucking with you. He responded cool, but told me y'all here, this how motherfuckers
get down, get down.
I really gotta say is that if that's how people gonna get down, how we ever gonna get up? How we ever gonna get up if that's how we get down? Shame when you really look at it. My folk against your folk. But we all can't folk. Somebody gotta make a change.
Hey folks, listen to Radioactive San Diego, the Lying Media Bastard show. That is there was Nas doing Get Down off of the God's Son album. I suppose him proclaiming that he is God's Son. How arrogant. Before that, we had Cage doing Gatecrasher with a little help of Jello Biafra. Party Crasher, I believe. A little help from Jello Biafra. Trying to track down that album. I have not yet found it. Looks like it's a bunch of good noisy political hip-hop. For that, the George W. Bush Singers doing War in Iraq. They're fun to play now and again. Jello Biafra and the Melvins doing Plethysmograph, which is my understanding it's one of those really old fish back from dinosaur times. That's a plethysmograph. And we started it off with Nouvelle Vague doing Dancing with Myself. And here we are. I'm Jake. So much to talk about. I'm not sure where to start. One bit. This is an interesting story. It's slightly older. There's a website that I like called Sprawl.com. Sprol.com. Very short name. And basically what it does is it reports on environmental issues. What's going on, a lot of it is sort of environmental hotspots, looking at various cities or disaster areas or something, mostly using satellite footage. So it's a pretty amazing visual spectacle, this site. But I was more interested in is the story that they have that's a top for this week. I guess it's a little older, but it's talking about ethanol. It's saying how at the time Bush had given recently some sort of speech about alternative fuels, and he'd mentioned ethanol, and he'd mentioned the switchgrass and all that. But apparently, a lot of the factories that make ethanol, which is the gasoline-like fuel that you can get from corn, there's a refinery in Goldfield, Iowa, that has been making ethanol since late last year. It's been hailed as the clean, renewable fuel of the future, but it uses fossil fuel to power the ethanol refinery. So just exactly what are we gaining from this experiment in so-called green energy? According to a report from the Christian Science Monitor, carbon cloud hangs over green fuel. While other ethanol plants use natural gas, the Goldfield plant burns 300 tons of coal a day to make this clean, renewable fuel. So, very, very important question, or I guess concern to think about. You know, so we are trying to switch to a new form of energy, which does not cause the same pollution as your current form of energy. You need to make sure that that works as a whole. You know, if, for example, let's say you made cars that ran on water. You know, zero emissions, and that's fine. But in the production of this engine, you had to, you know, demolish 100 forests, you know, something like that, in the process. Then you have to ask yourself, you know, is the net result out of all this, is this a positive or a negative for the environment? It's looking like the ethanol comes out about even when they're switching to coal. One might think, hey, well, if they make ethanol, why can't they just set aside a little bit of the corn, make enough ethanol fuel to run the plant, and then run the plant on the ethanol to make more ethanol? And it sounds like that's not cost-effective. So, little environmental concern there. You know, what exactly are we doing? How are we doing it? Which reminds me, we had a fun website this morning. I don't know how many of you know, but there is a movie that is coming out right now called An Inconvenient Truth, which is about Al Gore and his long-term dedication to, I don't know, they're saying, you know, his long-standing dedication to stopping global warming and that sort of thing. And but it looks like there's an organization called the Competitive Enterprise Institute, which is coming up with commercials in an attempt to counteract the message of this movie that global warming is a threat. And let's see here. Let's see if we can't play this ad, because it's kind of funny. Here we go.
There's something in these pictures you can't see. It's essential to life.
Man running down the beach.
We breathe it out.
Girl blowing a dandelion.
Plants breathe it in.
Forest.
It comes from animal life.
Deer
the
running.
Oceans.
The ocean.
The earth. And
geyser.
The fuels we find in it. It's called carbon dioxide, CO2. The fuels that produce CO2 have freed us from a world of back-breaking labor.
Dude smacking something with a stick. Field.
Lighting up our lives.
Times Square.
Allowing us to create and move the things
Train.
We need. The people we love.
Kids getting an SUV.
Now some politicians want to label carbon dioxide a pollutant.
Evil music.
Imagine if they succeed. What would our lives be like then? Carbon dioxide. They call it pollution. We call it life.
Girl blowing a dandelion again. So, yes, so we've got that. I'm told there's another one. I haven't actually watched this other ad. Let's see if, let's try watching this one. I think this one is, I think this one tries to tell us that studies about global warming are wrong.
You've seen those headlines about global warming. The glaciers are melting. We're doomed. That's what several studies supposedly found. But other scientific studies found exactly the opposite. Greenland's glaciers are growing, not melting. The Antarctic ice sheet is getting thicker, not thinner. Did you see any big headlines about that? Why are they trying to scare us? Global warming alarmists claim the glaciers are melting because of carbon dioxide from the fuels we use. Let's force people to cut back, they say. But we depend on those fuels to grow our food, move our children, light up our lives. And as for carbon dioxide, it isn't smog or smoke.
It's
what we breathe out and plants breathe in.
I love carbon dioxide.
They call it pollution. We call it life.
I love you, carbon dioxide. So, okay. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, hey, I didn't hear about that study. We have the example. Apparently, what they were saying about the glaciers, there is on the interior. So, okay, I guess they're finding that the glaciers are getting smaller and they're falling apart on the coastline, but in the interior, far away from the moderating effects of water, where it's much still, the temperatures get much more extreme, cold and heat, there's more snow. Let's see. Indeed, the thinning of the margins and growth in the interior Greenland is an expected response to increased temperatures and more precipitation in a warmer climate. These results present no contradiction to the accelerated sliding near the coasts, which is from a climate scientist with the website realclimate.org. But, yeah, so that's just a fun little tidbit for you, that those are just really bad commercials. Yeah. It reminds me, there's an episode of The Simpsons where the kids are being forced to watch pointless film strips and pointless educational films because the teachers don't feel like working, and they show one coming to an end where it's like, you know, wow, I never understood the importance of zinc. Thank you, zinc. That's really what that commercial reminded me of. Now, a few weeks back, I mentioned another campaign, SaveTheInternet.com, which is an attempt to prevent the telecom companies who have control of the internet backbone. It's an attempt to prevent them from charging fees for increased bandwidth use, or to prevent to force websites to pay money to if they're popular, you know, people, or to it's really kind of a payola scam more than anything. It says that if you have a website, you could pay money to internet service providers to provide faster access to your site or slower access to the sites of your opponents. Obviously, and that's something that could very easily happen. Let's say your internet service provider is, SBC. That's actually who I have at my house, SBC Global. So imagine SBC has some sort of shady practices going on, and somebody creates a website, you know, downwithsbc.com. Perhaps if we made the law changes that the telecom companies would like us to make, maybe they make it take a real long time to load that page. Maybe I have to wait 5 minutes to download that page, and by that time I say, well, forget that, I'll look at it later, or something like that. Or perhaps a rival company. Perhaps I'm using, you know, SBC is also a phone company. Imagine that I use the new technology to do phone calls over the internet. VOIP. Let's say I'm using VIOP. I'm confusing myself. Using VOIP to talk to a friend in another country. Perhaps that service is becoming more popular. What if my service provider, SBC, who is also a phone company, what if they start making it take a very long time to connect for all of the VOIP calls? What if they make it so that the websites for VOIP services take a real long time to load, and I can't ever even get the initial information about this service to save money on phone calls? This sort of stuff is easy. It's possible, right? Because right now there's just something called net neutrality, which is this principle that the internet companies, the internet service providers, are not supposed to have any control over how fast you see any product. They can't give preference or punishment to any particular website or service. Sadly, the telecom companies have come up with their own Gen X looking ad campaign to oppose the Save the Internet campaign, called Don't Regulate the Internet. And it's really pretty insulting, actually. It's all done in, like, handwritten letters and kind of bad cartoon graphics. Because, you know, we're a bunch of Gen X slackers, and that's just how we do it, you know? It's like, you know, so this really, like, it speaks to me. And it's very misleading, and you know, it sounds like a lot of other pro-internet campaigns. Regulate the internet, that's terrible. Because there have been many campaigns against government legislation that would regulate free speech on the internet and such things like that. And of course, they're also trying to appeal and say, make up your own mind about the future of the internet. And sadly, many of the liberal and progressive bloggers who have spoken out vigorously in defense of net neutrality and the Save the Internet campaign have accepted money to put ads on their site for this fake campaign, the Don't Regulate the Internet campaign. And they try to justify it with, oh, well, you know, we don't want to be like, you know, some conservative website that only takes conservative ads and is closed-minded and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it doesn't matter who, you know, I'll have some rules, of course. You know, I wouldn't put up an ad for, like, you know, the slave trade or something. But I won't discriminate. I'll take any ad, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's just like, you're a political figure here. You know, if you want to be media, okay, fine. And then, you know, then you're fulfilling your duty to supposedly be neutral. But if this is something you care about, you're actually doing harm to a cause you care about because someone will pay you to do so. Which, I don't know, that's pretty sad, really. And then, you know, they come up with all sorts of tortured explanations and justifications and whatever. It's their website. They can do what they want. But I just think it's kind of... it speaks poorly of your character that you will help promote something that you oppose because there's a paycheck in it for you. I mean, that's one reason, you know, I guess for my own website, I could take ads for it, but it seems like that would be just so hypocritical, as so much of my concern about media is the effects of advertising. You know, the impact it can have on content and what gets printed and what doesn't. That it would just be sleazy for me to, like, say, hey, I got ads on the site. On top of that, I would also worry that, you know, what would happen? You know, let's say I had ads on there and they were all benign ads or ads for, you know, corporations or companies or organizations that I thought were doing good work. And I start to depend on that income. I start, you know, I get, you know, $50 a month, I get $300 a month, whatever, however much I would get from the ads, I start depending on that to pay my bills and all that, and then one day, that comes under threat. One day the ads start drying up, or one day somebody says, we're not going to advertise on your site because you put this sort of content up there. At that point, what am I going to do? Am I really going to, you know, stick to my principles and lose the cash and face financial hardship, or would I cave? I don't know what I'd do. I'd like to think, you know, that I'd be, Captain, stick to your principles, and you know, I would save the day and, you know, beat up bad guys with laser beams from my eyeballs. But, you don't know. I don't know. I've never been in that situation. I don't want to put myself in that situation. So no ads for Jake on his site. These guys, I think they've compromised themselves. So, sad. Little interesting tidbit I found today. Fast Food Nation. Many of you have read this book. It was, let's see, it came out a few years back, and it's a very in-depth look at many different parts of the fast food industry. From the, you know, it goes all the way from, you know, where the food is grown, how it's packaged, the chemicals used to flavor it, the workers that, that, you know, cook the food, harvest the food, kill the animals, transport the food, and etc. It goes on and on. But, apparently making a movie. Fast Food Nation, the movie. And, just kind of crazy. Apparently, what it looks like, I saw a trailer for it. And it looks like what they're doing is they're making it a fictional story where Greg Kinnear, the actor, he comes on and he acts as though he is a... he's a CEO at some fast food company, some fictional fast food company, and that he's been charged with finding out what's going wrong with their product. In the little snippet I showed, they said that you know, the CEO is saying, you know, we have shit in the meat. There is shit in our hamburger meat. We need to get to the bottom of this. And it looks like, so it looks like, you know, in the story of the book Fast Food Nation, it's the author, Eric Schlosser, goes around the country researching this. And he's in his own story a little bit, saying, I went here, I went there, I talked to this guy. So it looks like, in a way, It's the personalized story that Eric Schlosser went through to gather all this information, but instead of being a muckraking journalist type, he's going to be a open-minded executive type out to save his company. So we'll see how that goes. I think the website for that was fastfoodnation-movie.com. And here we got more Bill O'Reilly crap. This is actually pretty funny. Bill O'Reilly has, he thinks he stumbled onto the conspiracy of the century regarding immigration. And he's, of course, wrong, which makes it funnier. But but let's just play this clip here. This is via MediaMatters.org, who, you know, they do the good job of tracking all of the... all of the right-wing crazies. So let's play this here, Bill O'Reilly. Maybe.
Now, in 1986, President Reagan thought he could solve the problem by granting about 3 million illegal aliens amnesty. The New York Times was in heaven, editorializing back then, quote, "The new law won't work miracles, but it will induce most employers to pay attention to turn off the magnets to slow the tide." Of course, just the opposite happened. But the Times hasn't learned a thing. That's because the newspaper and many far-left thinkers believe the white power structure that controls America is bad, so a drastic change is needed. According to the lefty zealots, the white Christians who hold power must be swept out by a new multicultural tide, a rainbow coalition, if you will. This can only happen if demographics change in America. An open border policy and the legalization of millions of Hispanic illegal aliens would deeply affect the political landscape in America. That's what the New York Times and many others on the left want. They might get it. And that's a memo. Now.
So there's your Bill O'Reilly. Immigration is a conspiracy of people on the far left, including the New York Times, which would be news to me that they're the far left. That if we get more and more illegal immigrants into the country, then perhaps we can vote in a multicultural group of individuals to be the leadership in this country. Now, you might be surprised to hear that I agree with some of this. Now, there's the larger article that Media Matters has here where they discuss this. Parts of this, what Bill O'Reilly is talking out his ass and is wrong about, that obviously this is not what mainstream lefties want. But he says, many far left thinkers believe the white power structure that controls America is bad, so a drastic change is needed. I concur. I think the white power structure in America is bad. Not necessarily because it's white, but what we got is bad, and we need drastic change. I would agree with that. According to the lefty zealots, the white Christians who hold power must be swept out by a new multicultural tide, a rainbow coalition, if you will. Yes, I would like that the white Christians who hold power be swept out of power, not because they're white. Some of my best friends are white people. I got nothing against white people. Not because they're Christian, unless it's the subset of the power structure that has the crazy fundamentalist Christian views. In which case, yeah, get them out of there. And I don't even care. I don't care so much if it's a multicultural group that came into power. As long as it was a group that represented many interests, the interests of people of many cultures who are here, that would be better. He also mentioned somewhere in here about being opposed, us far left zealots being opposed to white privilege, which I am. There is a movement in this country to wipe out, quote, white privilege. And the organizers of the May 1st nationwide pro-immigrant protests have a hardcore militant agenda of "you stole our land, you bad gringos," and that organizers seek to take it back by massive migration into the Southwest. I'm getting tired of this crap. There is no conspiracy, there is no plan. You got people who want to work, they want to have good jobs, and they think they can get better jobs here in the United States, so they come up from Latin America to get better jobs in the United States. There is not a plan to take over Southern California, southwestern United States. There is no such plan. The people on the far right really want there to be this plan so they can be justified in hating the brown people. They already do hate the brown people, but it works better for them if they can find a reason to. Then they can be outraged in public and scream and wave their arms, and that feels good to them. So, it's just sad. I mean, I do know folks who have this feeling of the "you stole our land, you bad gringos," but it's not as part of an effort to take the land back over. It's just a real irritation at the hypocrisy that the United States, who conquered Mexico in a war 100 years ago, turns around and is now yelling, "You people, get off our land." The hypocrisy is that it was their land first, and there was an awful lot of folks who, the day before the Mexican-American War ended, before the treaty was signed, they were citizens of Mexico, and the next day the treaty gets signed, suddenly they're on American soil, and they're citizens of the United States. And actually, I believe the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, the treaty that ended the Mexican-American War, says that anybody who was born on the territory that the U.S. took over, and the descendants of the people who took over, who were on the land that was taken over, all get to be American citizens. So if you had a relative who was on what is now U.S. soil at the end of the Mexican-American War, and if then they left and went to another part of Mexico and then, came back, they're citizens. Their kids are citizens. Nobody seems to know that. And one quick little more media thing before I go. I'm all over the place today. I apologize. I saw on my drive down here, I saw in Carlsbad a sign sticking out of someone's front yard that said 10newsunfair.com. So I figured, okay, I gotta see what the hell this is about. So you go to that website, 10newsunfair.com. The headline, Channel 10 is bad news for its employees. KGTV, Channel 10, promises to be, quote, on your side, unquote, but they are not on the side of their own employees. Engineers, technicians, directors, photographers, editors, and artists have been trying to negotiate a fair contract with Channel 10. These are the same people who bring you 10 News, the 10 News Channel, and Azteca America, Cable 15, as well as your favorite ABC shows. Channel 10 wants to eliminate jobs and refuses to negotiate over the issue despite making huge profits. Please take a minute to email General Manager Derek Dalton and Broadcasting Group President Ed Quinn and tell them to negotiate fairly with their employees. In the meantime, please do not patronize the advertisers who support Channel 10's efforts to treat its own employees unfairly. And then they have a list of about, oh, I'd say 120 different businesses here that they're saying you should not patronize because they advertise with Channel 10. If I was these folks, that's a lot to ask. Well, first of all, I think they need to give more details. I'm critiquing their campaign, by the way. That's what I'm doing. I think that the 10newsunfair.com people should give more details about what they want and how they're trying to get it and how they're being screwed by the company. I think they should find out maybe three of these 120 companies that spend the most money advertising on Channel 10, and go after those three pretty hard, because it's a lot to ask people to not shop at 120 different companies of all different sorts of services and whatnot. USE Credit Union, The Diamond Source, Shoe Pavilion, Jenny Craig, Closet World, Coco's Restaurant, H&R Block, Robinson's May. This is a lot of different types of businesses. And on top of that, not patronizing these businesses won't do anything unless those businesses know what you're doing. So I think they should pick the three top companies here, have people send letters to those three companies saying, I won't be patronizing your store because you advertise on this channel, which is screwing over its employees, and etc. So I might try to get in touch with these folks, see what they're doing, give them my two cents. Trying to get the real story behind it all. And because I guess this could all be bullshit too. I don't know the story for sure. I'm always, you know, first off, I'm gonna believe. Okay, then there's a note hidden in the source code that says, nothing much to say here except the management of Channel 10 is unfair to its hardworking employees. But yeah, it seems to be that, I always trust labor more than I trust their companies. So, yeah. Hello, I've been talking for a long time. I'll get into some more music. This here is going to be, if you're interested, again, that channel I was talking about, or that website, 10newsunfair.com. Next up, we got the Rockin'Tours, which is the new side project of Jack White of the White Stripes and some of his pals. A song called Store-Bought Bones. I'm Jake, Lying Media Bastard Show. Music. Hey folks, listen to Radioactive San Diego, I'm Jake. That just there was Irving doing Loving You in My Room. Thought that was a nice kind of sexy yet kind of cute and sweet song. But I want to continue in a second with that trend, but before that we had System of Down doing Marmalade, the Ooh-Las doing Small Parts, and we started off with the Rocketeers, Store Bought Bones. But after that song, this is a song I've been playing, meaning to play for a few weeks. It's Master Ace and Jean Grey. It is the sappiest hip-hop song ever. It is an actual love song. It's like, I don't know if there's an actual relationship between Master Ace and Jean Grey in real life, but the song, the characters there in the song, they're in love, and they want each other and need each other, and they care about each other. And it's a little too much. It's a little too sappy, but I feel like in contrast to all the thugged out, women are bitches, hand me my gas sort of songs, I feel like I gotta play this. This is gonna be a counterbalance. It's the way that many rap songs are too bling and too violent. This is too romantic and sappy. But we're going with this mess, Ace and Jean Grey doing Hold You. I'm Jake, Lying Media Bastards.
We first met. I wasn't even feeling you then, but worse yet, I was all up in the mix with one of your friends. And when you seen us, you would always give me one of your grins, like if I only knew what I was missing. I would quit kissing on this chick and change my position. I really thought you and my man was a better match. I never thought you was the type that I could catch. I used to see you out in the park with different cats, the big willy types that rocked them pimp hats. Had every other guy on the block trying to get you, wishing that they had that rap to get with you. Felt you was out of my league. It's like if you was silk and linen, then I was fatigued. I never would have pictured you and me together, but it's like the way I hold you, we was meant to be together. Come on. The way I hold you, it feels so good. Yeah. I don't ever wanna let you go. Can't see you with nobody else. No. I just really had to let you know. Yeah. It's the way I hold you. It's the way I hold you. It's the way I hold you. Now I spend most of my time just being with you. Early on, I was afraid to be seen with you, cause I knew cats would do anything they could to stop us from being together. It's all good. They was mad cause I got you, and they didn't. Some even tried to approach me, I'm not kidding. Had to be 10 times I got into a fight with niggas trying to say I wasn't hitting it right. Yeah, they kept on hating, just kept on waiting, hoping that we'd break up, but we kept dating. Never knew it'd be so hard to be with you. I should make it easy on myself and just quit you. I need to make it easy on myself. Yup, I need to make it easy on myself. Yup, I need to make it easy on myself. Yup, and just leave you alone. No way. No way. When I hold you, it feels so great. I realize and recognize that you my soulmate. It's us forever. I had to let you know. That just like I told you, I'ma hold you, never let you go. Come on. The way I hold you, it's so good. I don't ever wanna let you go. Can't see you with nobody else. No, I just really had to let you know. Yeah, it's the way I hold you. It's the way I hold you. It's the way I hold you.
1, 2. You should have known from way back I tried to amp you. Tried to speak on your skills when other niggas felt me. But you know that if you wasn't with me, they can't even hear you right. And if you tried to snatch me up, it'd probably turn into a fight. I've been through my phases with cats and chicks. I know you see me chilling with fake players who tried to grab me in the club and dance with me on the stage in gaiters. They say you just hating, you jelly off the money that they making. Peep the strip of broads, thugs and guards and punks. Cats in front, get me high with all the smoke from the blunts. It's not love, it's just lust. They always put me down when shit gets rough. I can't do it alone, I need someone to hold me right. Tell me their feelings, speak honest to their boys, that's why we dealing. Niggas starting rumors like we ain't chilling and split up. When you been writing poems for me just to shut their lip up. And there's still cats who try to touch me when they spot me alone, trying to tap me just to see if I'm turned on. But it's the way you speak to me, it's like we on the same frequency. And when you hold me, you make me peak. Come on.
The way I hold you, it's so good. I don't ever wanna let you go.
can't see you with nobody else. I just really had to let you know.
It's the way I hold you. 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 It's the way I hold you.
Yeah.
God, I see headlights. I made it down the coast in 17 hours, picking me a bouquet of dogwood flowers, and I'm hoping for Raleigh I can see my baby tonight. So rock me, mama, like a wagon wheel. Rock me, mama, any way you feel. A big banjo now. Oh, North Country winters keep forgetting me, and I lost my money playing poker, so I had to wipe and lay, but I ain't gonna turn it back. The Lula don't laugh no more. So rock me, mama, like a wagon wheel. Rock me, mama, any way you feel. I caught a trucker out of Philly, had a nice long toque, but he's headed west from the Cumberland Gap to Johnson City, Tennessee. And I gotta get a move on before the sun. I hear my baby calling my name, and I know that she's the only one. And if I die in Raleigh, at least I will die free. So wreck me, mama, like a wagon wheel. Wreck me, mama, any way you feel. Rock me, mama, like the wind and the rain.
Hey folks, this is Jake, this is the Lying Media Bastards show on Radioactive San Diego. That is, there was VHS or Beta, who, if you ask me, sound exactly like a cross between The Cure and Duran Duran. Before that we had The Coach Whips doing Hands On, Lily Allen doing Knock 'Em Out. I played that song last week. I think it's very funny. I gotta find more Lily Allen. And we started off with the sappy rap song Masta Ace and Jean Grey doing Hold You. It's about how much they love each other and like holding each other and talking about their feelings. Again, I feel like that song was a little over the top in the sappy direction, but we needed to counterbalance all the misogynist, violent, and shallow rap music that's out there. And we finally accomplished that. In one song, it all balances out. I'm kidding. Let's see. I think something we have to mention today is they're calling it the potentially the My Lai Massacre, the My Lai Massacre of the Iraq War, which is the Pentagon has just released information. They did a study, an investigation of the killings of 15 Iraqis in the town of, I believe, Hadith from back in November. Haditha. A Pentagon probe into the death of Iraqi civilians last November in the Iraqi city of Haditha will show that U.S. Marines, quote, killed innocent civilians in cold blood, a U.S. lawmaker said Wednesday. From the beginning, the Iraqis in Haditha said that the U.S. Marines deliberately killed 15 unarmed Iraqi civilians, including seven women and three children. A military official told NBC News that the Marine Corps' own evidence appears to show that John Murtha is right, John Murtha being the congressional member who has been claiming this. Murtha, a vocal opponent of the war in Iraq, said at a news conference Wednesday that sources within the military have told him that an internal investigation will show that there was no firefight, there was no IED that killed these innocent people. Our troops overreacted because of the pressure on them, and they killed innocent civilians in cold blood. Military officials say Marine Corps photos taken immediately after the incident show that many of the victims were shot at close range in the head and chest, execution style. One photo shows a mother and young child bent over the floor as if in prayer, shot dead, said the officials who spoke to NBC News on condition of anonymity because of the investigation hasn't yet been completed. One military official said it appears the civilians were deliberately killed by the Marines, who were outraged at the death of their fellow Marine. This one is ugly, one official told NBC News. And then a rebuttal, the blogger Bill Mon at Whiskey Bar, and he runs a blog called Whiskey Bar, he didn't like the term ugly. His response is, ugly? That doesn't even begin to cover it. Dick Cheney is ugly. The Pentagon is ugly. An Abrams tank is ugly. Executing helpless women and children while they're huddled on the floor, praying to their God, is a war crime committed by terrorists. Sladise in Rwanda and Srebrenica, and of course, My Lai. The men who committed this crime aren't really human anymore. They shed their humanity like a snake sheds its skin when they walked into those houses and started shooting. All that's left of them is a dark pit at the center of their reptilian brainstems, a place that knows no pity, remorse, or even self-awareness. They're lost souls, lost to the world and to themselves. Now, of course, as I'm mentioning this terrible atrocity, Luna the cat has walked in here and is nuzzling my hand and meowing and laying on the keyboard of the computer. Nothing like the juxtaposition of of horror and furry cuteness. No, but I mean, I can't, as far as this attack is concerned, you know, the story was that, you know, a couple of, you know, some Marines were killed, again, in, you know, sort of a terrorist attack, killed by a roadside bomb or a sniper or something, and the Marines totally fucking lost it and went into this house and just started killing everybody. I mean, this story was out, like they said, in November. I remember it being told around November and them saying, oh, we'll look into this, you know, can't trust everything you hear. And I can't imagine this is a rare occurrence. I mean, you're in this. You've been taught to sort of dehumanize your enemy. You're in this foreign country for months or years, scared out of your mind that you could be killed at any moment, never see your family again. You've got guns and they don't. I mean, really, just the abuse that seems like would happen all the time. And I'm pretty sure it does. You know, I think that awful things are happening in Iraq all the time. You know, we saw that at Abu Ghraib, this attack here. Fallujah, I think, was largely a revenge attack because of the four military contractors who'd been killed. As people before me have said, we should leave Iraq. Reminds me, I have new information on possibly why we're there. You know, I'll write about this. This will be a good incentive. I've been meaning to write on my site a lot lately, and I just keep missing it. But there's a new book called The Bush Agenda, Invading the World One Economy at a Time, which argues that essentially the cat is ripping the microphone, arguing essentially that the invasion of Iraq is simply a corporate globalization at the barrel of a gun. And it would explain a lot of things. I'll write about that tonight on the website, and you can read it. And the cat is snuggling me. I give up. I'm Jake, and this is DJ Luna, and we're doing the Relying Media Bastard show. And I'll play one more song by Giant Drag, and then we'll get out of here. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
who only partially ruined the show. There was a giant drag doing my dick sucks. Thanks for listening. I'm going to write about the Iraq and globalization stuff I mentioned and put up on my site tonight, because I don't have to go to my job. Thanks for listening. I'll see you all next week. And we'll be interviewing next week Ron Anisich from Bad Cop No Donut. Talk about police and policing and racism and stuff. Thanks for listening. Bye.